everybody. Thank you for checking out another episode of The Tardy Cast. I am Justin, and I'm joined here by
Michael.
Michael, and Michael is on staff with us here at Mariners Church. Michael, tell a little bit about yourself.
Grew up in Riverside, moved out here to Costa Mesa about 5 years ago, attended Vanguard University, where I studied psychology, and then I started working here at the church in June 2016.
My wife has her degree in psychology.
She does.
And she went to CBU.
Oh.
And she has her master's in psychology as well.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. She's very, very smart. And you are very smart as well.
Thank you.
Single?
Single.
How old are you?
23.
23. And I want you to know you're the youngest person so far that we've had on the TardyCast.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an honor.
It's a huge honor. It's a big compliment. Because
yeah.
I respect you. I think you're awesome.
Thank you.
So parents, leaders, here's the reason why Michael is here today. He is smart in a whole lot of things. But there's something specific that's kind of like his fastball, the thing he is smarter in than other things. And I thought it would be good for all of us to hear about it and learn a little bit about it. And so I'm going to ask him some questions about it. So, Michael, you were talking to me about like big things and little things. And you see the value and are kind of a master of the little things. And how do you define, just to set us up, how do you define the difference between big things and little things in what we're going to be talking about today?
Big things and little things when it comes to the way in which we communicate to children.
Okay.
Right?
That's perfect.
Big things can be something that's like direct communication. It's the way that you talk to them. You say, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. Little things are all in the indirect. It's in the way that we act, the way that we behave, that children pick up on.
All right. So big things are the rules you set, the, you know, discipline, consequences.
Right.
Well, those will be big things.
Right.
Big family values, are those big? Would you consider that to be a big thing?
Absolutely.
All right, so you have something written on the wall. It's like, this is what our family's about.
Yes.
Expectations, big thing.
Sure.
We expect you to get this type of grade. We expect you to join this sport, you know, be on the sports team and finish it till the end. Those are all big things.
Right.
Just the clear, big direction things. They got a problem, helping solve the problem.
Yeah.
You know, giving advice. Big things.
Absolutely.
So we're not talking about the big things today. We're talking about the little things.
The little things.
So what are the little things?
The little things are all of the things that we do that we don't even know that we're doing, right? It's the way that we respond, the way that we react to different situations in our lives. The things that kids pick up on that we don't think they're picking up on. The fact that they're always listening. They're always watching. They want to see what our next move is.
Okay. All right. So I agree with you, and I've put some thought into it, but not enough thought into it to think of it as a big thing. You're saying it's a big thing. The little things are big things.
Surely.
And I put some thought into it, but not a lot of thought. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who would say, oh, yeah, how we react or how we look, the look on our face, like that's what he's talking about. And like that is important. But you're not just talking about the expression on our face when we're talking. There's
right.
more to the little things or getting good at the little things than just the expression on our face. So what are some of the things that are the little things that we can get good at?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think when we first have an understanding of who we are, right, we first have an understanding of the way that we respond, the way that we react. I think it helps us to get good at the little things, because the little things become so natural for us to do that we don't have to think about them.
Give
right?
me an example.
Oh gosh, I would say even in a moment of the way that you discipline a kid, right? When there's disciplinary things that happen, right? Here at church, sometimes kids act up a little bit. Maybe.
Absolutely.
So of course there's the whole like pulling them aside. Hey. Knock that off, XYZ.
Yeah.
You talk through those things, but the little things are the things that we do after, right? It's being able to say, hey, but so for me, this is what I do. I pull a kid aside, and instead of saying, hey, I need you to stop because you're misbehaving, I ask, hey, what's going on? Why don't you tell me what you're doing?
Yeah.
And then they tell me. And I say, why do you think that that's good or not? You know, and they let me know. Maybe they don't know what they're doing, right? But then it's in the, okay, well, I want you to know, I don't think you're a bad kid.
Yeah.
I think you're a good kid. I think you're making a bad decision, right?
Yeah.
I think that when you're behaving in this way or XYZ, that you're not being who God called you to be. That's not who God made you to be. So I know that that's not you.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at you, right? It's like the quick and easy, maybe like sayings that we say to a kid, or like in the indirect. So another example.
Yeah.
And this feels like a bigger one, but to me, it's big and it's small. It's in the big and in the little things. When I was younger, I was about in the eighth grade. My parents pulled me in to their room, and they wanted to have a big conversation with our family. Now, mind you, grew up in a Christian home. My dad's a pastor at this time. We didn't have a lot of serious family conversations, okay? Parents called us in, and they just let us know, you know what, hey, dad's not going to be a pastor anymore. And it was one of those things, like, nobody, we didn't see it coming. We didn't know what was going on. It was hard to process because my whole life, that's all I knew was being a pastor's kid, right? Dealing with all of those things. And I remember sitting there, and everyone was kind of just crying. I think nobody knew how to feel about the situation. And my mom just looking at me and telling me, hey, you know, this, don't let this affect your relationship with God. Like, your relationship with God is your own. To me, that was a little thing that was actually a really big thing. Like, she was just letting me know, like, hey, this doesn't have to do with you. But to me, that spoke volumes into who I was as a Christian, because I put so much identity in my relationship with my parents, the fact that my dad was a pastor, the fact that I was a pastor's kid. For the first time, I had to start figuring it out. But it wasn't only that. It was watching the way over the next few months that my parents reacted to the situation that was currently going on in their marriage and in the things that was going on with my dad pastorally, and being able to watch them and their love, and the way that they allowed life to be messy, right? They didn't try to patch anything over. Again, a little thing. Yeah. It wasn't explicitly told to us like, hey, this is just how life is. It was modeled for us. Like, yeah, we're a Christian family. We're a pastor's family, but life kind of sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
And I got to see that. So I grew up with an understanding of that. And then I grew up with an understanding of what love looks like, that love doesn't give up, right? Love continues, it perseveres, it pushes through, because that's what I saw my parents do. So it was in all of those things that were like, they didn't explicitly say anything, but I picked up on every single one of those things and continue to live those out through what I do today.
Okay, so you gave me two really good examples. Example one was the little things and how we have conversations. So the, you know, kid screws up. I've done that a million times before. Right. The teacher pulls you aside and they don't just, instead of just scolding you and telling you things they, you know, you did wrong, which I'm sure there are many things that you did wrong. It's a longer journey of that conversation. You know, me personally, I'm very similar to you in this. I'll pull a kid aside and I always start off with, man, I love you. I think you're awesome. Yeah. I love having you here. I don't do the thing you do, which I find to be very smart. Like, tell me what you're doing. Like, I might steal that, but I love you. I think you're great. I love having you here. This is what I see you doing.
Yeah.
And you can't do this anymore. Like, you're making paper airplanes and you're throwing them at girls. You can't do that.
Right.
So I need you to stop doing that. And if you do it again, then you're gonna have to come sit with me. But I love you being here.
Totally.
I know that you can do this. Go back, enjoy, have fun.
Yeah.
Later. So I always bookend it with the, you know, affirmations, mm-hmm. and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Now, those are little things when it comes to that conversation. Not everyone does that. Yeah. Not everyone feels they need to do that.
Yeah.
But the little thing in how you have the conversation,
right?
It doesn't have to be just get to the point. Some people are get to the point people.
Sure.
Even just in personality. So a parent might say, well, my kid's just, he's a get to the point kind of kid. Like, you know, I don't need to give him all this stuff, but the kid needs it.
Yeah.
Even if you feel like he's not that kind of a kid.
Right.
He's still developing. Like, mm-hmm. who he is not who he's going to be in 10 years.
Absolutely.
It might not even be who he is next year.
Yeah.
So you need to take the longer path to get there.
Right.
And that's one of the little things. Then you gave me the second example, which is the stuff that is just happening that there's no, like, mom and dad didn't sit you down and say, all right, this is the lesson we want you to take away from this. We don't cover up our messes. We live them out. That's just the normal going ons of life.
Right.
And knowing that, essentially knowing that your kid's always watching,
mm-hmm.
and they're always making inferences and conclusions and making takeaways from whatever it is that's happening.
Right.
Right. So I hear that as a parent, and I think, one, that takes, that it's, that's smart, or I'm a leader, like, okay, that sounds smart. But you really got to be on the ball with your thinking, mm-hmm. like when that moment happens, mm-hmm. because it's all about that first, like I'm a first response kind of guy. Mm. So if I'm, you know, even talking here at work, you know, about an idea or something I want to do, and the first time I bring it up, if it's immediately greeted with like hostility, mm-hmm. like even just the facial expression, like that will demotivate me. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing with a kid, like that first like couple seconds,
absolutely,
of how you respond is going to dictate how the rest of the conversation goes.
Yeah.
So the burden is on us heavily then to be on it all mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if I'm not, so I'm tapping into your psychology here. Kay. So if I'm a parent or a leader who I'm just not good at that, like sometimes I just respond poorly. Like maybe people have told me I respond poorly sometimes. You know, I know this about myself. I'm self-aware enough to know that I don't respond amazingly with things. How do I get good at this for my kid or for the student in my life group? Like how can I, so I'm as an adult, sure. how could I make improvements as an adult to get better at this?
Right. I mean, I think initially it's practice. How do you practice it? It comes with, so if you're self-aware enough to know that this is not how you respond, then you're self-aware enough to know when you do respond that way. Right. So it's being able to say like, okay, here's a moment where I get to practice something different. And then I think it's also accountability. It's having people around you who are going to call you out and say, hey, what about this? Or what about this way? When you said that, maybe that's what this was communicating, but try it this way next time. So I think it's, totally taking that self-awareness and moving it to action. Because we can be self-aware all that we want to be, right? We can totally understand ourselves up and down, but if we don't move it to action to change anything, then we're not going to be able to do it. So it's practicing the self-awareness, practicing being able to change up the way that we respond and react. And maybe it's not even in just those things with their kids. And maybe it's when we go to the grocery store. Maybe it's when we're at a coffee shop and we're dealing with someone who gets our order wrong, right? Like it's all those things, being able to practice them in our everyday lives to be able to go through and just make it become a little bit more natural maybe.
Okay. If I'm the parent or the leader who wants to get a little bit better at the second one, which is it's not implicitly stated, mm-hmm. but where the little things are happening just through the ongoings. How can I, and honestly, I mean, I'm sitting here, I honestly don't have the answer. So I'm really hoping you have the answer because that just sounds so smart to me because it's very intentional. There's mm-hmm. purpose behind it. I want to make sure me and my wife, like I'm thinking of me and my wife. It's like, you know, what are the little things that we're doing just in our everyday to make sure we're teaching, communicating the right things. Right. That's what I think about.
Yeah.
So what are, if I'm the leader, I'm the parent who's like, I want to make sure I'm getting good at those little things. How do you assess that? Like how do you, because it's easy to have a conversation and say, oh, I had that conversation. That went really bad. Like I should have started this way. Instead I started that way.
Yeah.
And so I missed the little things opportunity right. in that conversation. But in the regular ongoings of life,
yeah.
it's not as clear how to measure that or how to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is a way to measure it, see it, to prep for it, to anticipate it and make sure you're doing it? Or is there a way, or is it just like, how do I get good at that if I'm not already?
Right. I mean, as far as measuring it, that's a tricky thing to be able to say, like, am I doing it or am I not doing it? I mean, I guess you'll see it by the way that your kids or your students respond to the way that you behave and the way that you do things, the way that you model things. I think, though, to anticipate it, it's so hard because when things are innate, right, it's part of who you are. And kind of like I was saying earlier, it's an understanding of ourselves. It's knowing who we are. It's being, I think, rooted and grounded. When we're talking about it from a spiritual standpoint, right, being rooted and grounded in God and who he is, like, I feel like sometimes those things will come naturally as we continue to do that. Right. And maybe, right, and someone could say, like, well, I would say I'm rooted and grounded, and I still don't do those natural things. And to that I say, like, absolutely. You know why? Because God's going to work in different ways to different people. I don't think it's the right way. I think it's a way. I think it's a way that kids respond, kids will learn, and kids will understand. But at the end of the day, being made in the image of God, as all of us are, we're all going to represent different facets and different ways to look at things, different ways to raise kids. And so it might just look different. Maybe it's not for everyone. Maybe that style or that implicit learning isn't for everybody.
Yeah. What about if you do want to plan for it, you know, I'm imagining I sit down with my wife and maybe look at our family values, which if you don't have family values, you need to make them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you don't know how to make them, email me and I'll give you some thoughts. And I should probably talk to somebody who, like, I've done family values, but I think there's people who can teach people how to do them better.
Yeah.
Like, I did them because I learned how to do them from someone else.
Right.
If I want to sit down with my spouse, which you're not married.
No.
But that could change anytime.
Absolutely.
We could meet someone. If someone has a, you're 23, you said?
23.
So maybe someone out there has like a 23-year-old daughter or something.
Yeah.
They could, maybe they want to set up with you. You're a Christian guy.
Yeah.
Good looking. Very handsome man.
Thank you. Maybe shorter than 5'5".
Shorter than 5'5". That's what you are, or that's what you're looking?
I think that's what I am.
That's what
five,
you are.
5'5", 5'6".
So you want someone shorter than that.
It'd be nice.
My wife's a little taller than me.
It works.
I'm 9. I'm 5'9 and a half.
Uh-huh.
And she's 5'10".
That's good.
So it's only half an inch, but when she wears heels,
big deal.
When she looks great in heels, she towers over me, which I'm fine with. I have no, there's no issue there.
So family values.
Back on track. So your family values, and you sit with your spouse, or even your life group leader. You're sitting there with your leader, and you're like, all right, let's be intentional about the little things.
Mm.
What are a couple just off the bat little things that they could incorporate, or they could, you know, plan for that could make an impact?
Yeah. Affirmation's a big one.
So make affirmation a part of
kind of just everyday language, right? Like not even sitting down and making it a point to like, okay, now we're going to affirm each other. It's just like randomly deciding to affirm somebody. And so whether that's your spouse, whether that's your leader, your co-leader, whatever it ends up being, like showing kids and students like, this is just how it's modeled, right? And then doing it the same way to the kids. I think kids developmentally, they want to be known, right? They don't even know who they are. And so when someone's able to tell them what they see in them, big deal. It's a big deal for kids. Affirmation, I think, is a big one. Intentionality of having conversations that let, and I guess it's more further on affirmation, but letting kids know what you see in them, and what you see them doing, how you see God working in them, the talents and strengths that they have. I guess, again, that's really with affirmations. But as I've learned and as I've studied kids at this part, I mean, kids in general, right? But maybe in these later stages of life, they want to be known. They don't have yet the concept of who they are and whose they are. And I think we can begin to shape that through the way that we talk to them, through the little things. But maybe it's also just the way we, and our manners and opening doors for people, right? Like just like the kind things that we know how to do that we hear about, but like being intentional with those things, because those are in the unsaid. It's just like picking up trash on the side of the road. Like, oh, that was like a kind thing to do. It's all of those maybe, things that really speak as well.
All right. Affirmation I'm a big fan of. I think of affirmations around the dinner table or breakfast table. It's just part of the normal rhythms of life.
Absolutely.
I'm a big fan of affirmations. Give me one more.
Oh gosh, let me think.
One more thing that you could make in the kind of a small thing that makes the fits into the rhythm of your life that you could do.
Yeah. I think the ability to have fun. I think sometimes kids want to see that an adult or someone who's over them is willing to participate in what they want to do. So,
yeah. I mean, that's the backbone of our careers.
Absolutely.
Youth ministry.
Yeah.
Most people are surprised to know that as a 32-year-old, almost 33 with two kids, that it's not my normal everyday thing to wear Christmas suits or dress up like Chewbacca,
right,
or to cover myself in shaving cream or dye my beard red.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not normal things that I'm just like, oh man, I just can't wait to dye my beard red.
Absolutely.
Those are things we do in order to connect with students on the plane that they've set, which then buys us the credibility when we do life group, when we do camp, when we're just when a kid's hurting and they know they can come to us, it buys us the credibility of those interactions,
right?
The depth.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. What kind of fun things could families do? I think game night.
Game nights are big. Game nights are big. But you know what? Some families, though, can't do game nights.
Why?
People get really crazy.
Competitive?
Competitive.
I mean,
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I think sometimes feelings. When you're a feelings family, it might not work.
It's so funny. I'm just so the opposite of that. Because I just don't like doing family games at all. Because I think it's a
waste of time.
I don't want to say it's a waste of time.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it's really mean to say, but I'm just, I don't have, there's no desire to win a game that is trivial, has no real, whatever.
Yeah.
The point of that doesn't matter. I like what you said. It sounds smart. What else? Game nights. I think of you could do, like, you can go on vacation and, like, do goofy stuff. Like, go, like, do goofy things on vacation.
Right. Play with a fidget spinner. I don't know.
Fail at things.
Mm-hmm.
Go on vacation. Try and surf. You know, fail at it.
Yeah.
Laugh about it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I like that. Any closing thoughts about this? I feel like parents are going to listen to this and probably listen to it twice, because I think it's an intriguing thought of the intentionality behind the little things.
Yeah.
When, you know, some parents, and listen, I'm there, I guess I have very small kids, so I'm kind of there now.
Sure.
I just want to survive.
Mm.
I just want to get through, like, I don't want them to die. I don't want to die.
Mm.
Like, that's success. But, and those are the big things. And, you know, I want them to know right from wrong and the big things. But the nuances of the little things and the impact that it makes, I don't think I put a lot of time into that, not as much as I think I should. So this is compelling for me. I really enjoy it. So I think other parents are going to like it too. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's good just to not be hard on yourself when it comes to, like, if you don't think you're doing the little things, if you don't think you know how to do the little things well, it's like, well, probably nobody does. Nobody's ever going to know how. It's all just going to stem from a basis of love, right? When you love your kids, when we love our students, when we love the people that God's put in front of us, like, I think that that's able to speak volumes over the rest of the things that maybe we're missing.
I like that. I like this. I like you, man. You were just so good, Michael. And what we talked about today was awesome. Parents, if you have questions, let us know.
Yeah.
If you, there's an email address in the show notes. You can check that out. And thanks for tuning in. Another episode of the TardyCast. Thanks, Mike, for making the time.
You're welcome.
You're awesome. Thank you so much for checking this out. Remember, head to iTunes, leave a 5-star review. We love 5-star reviews. Say something great about the podcast if you like it. And it helps us out, helps us get the word out. And enjoy your week. Remember, we do TardyCast so that you are never late to leadership. Have an awesome week.